Well, we look further at this text in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Several years ago, our son needed to leave late in the evening on Thanksgiving because he had a particular TV monitor he wanted to get, and he had to. The sale started at midnight, so he needed to leave a little early so he can get in line to be sure to get he could get the TV he wanted. Then, at least, Soros seemed to wait till the official beginning of Black Friday at midnight on Friday for things to start. The last couple of years, that stores haven't seemed to notice much difference between Thursday and Friday and start the shopping already on Thursday. This year, it seemed like there was a little more respect, and some of them kind of pushed back a little bit and started at least late in the day, if not right away on Thursday morning. But it all kind of points to the fact that we have trouble waiting. We want things to come now. We can't wait for Friday to come. We want them to come early. We want excitement as soon as we can get it. Well, waiting has been hard for Christians for centuries, and waiting was hard for the Jews for even centuries before that. God keeps saying, be patient, but it's hard to be patient. God promised Abraham a son, way long time ago, but Abraham became impatient and had a son by slave woman Hagar. God told the people they didn't need a king besides himself, but the people became impatient, so God relented and had Samuel pick them a king who was Saul. When the Judeans were taken back into captivity and then came back to Jerusalem, they were anxious to be on their own. That didn't last very long. And then one nation, Egypt, then the Syrians, and finally, the Romans, one nation after another, came to take them over again, and they were impatient, wanting them to be rid of that rule. And some of them, even in Jesus' day, we know, took up arms, such as we know of Barabbas and other people like that, who took up arms to fight the Romans to get rid of them. They were impatient for God's plan to work out. Well, as Matthew writes, the time is getting long for the early Christians, too. Matthew probably writes about 50 years after Jesus ascended to heaven. His audience had seen the Romans demolish the temple. They had known the uncertain and often hostile relations with the Jews, as those many remained Jews. Some became Christians, and there was always tension between them. They had tried to follow the ways of Jesus, living in the hostile Roman environment. They were getting tired of waiting. When was the reign of Jesus coming? Jesus said he was coming back. Where is he? Even Paul had said that if a person was married and one of the people in the marriage died, that they shouldn't bother to get married again because Jesus was coming back soon. So the expectation was there. Jesus was coming any day. Where was Jesus? And what was keeping him? Why wasn't he there now? What should they be doing differently? So Matthew and the other gospel writers remind these early Christians to be watchful and to continue to wait, because if they don't keep up hope and they get distracted, they may miss God's next coming at the return of Jesus. Now we're here some 2,000 years later and we're still waiting. Where is Jesus? Where do we find him? And where does he find us? If we have trouble this week waiting for Friday, how will we do waiting for Jesus? Are we paying attention? Because it's very easy for us to be distracted as we wait, as it is with anyone who waits. Other things creep in and take our attention. We get so absorbed in what we're reading as we wait for our plane or our bus or our train to come that we almost miss it because we're so distracted by what we're reading to keep ourselves occupied. We can get very involved in our work and in our projects that we're doing and get distracted from caring for the relationships around us that mean the most to us. We can get very involved in the organizational matters of a church and get distracted from the things that keep us in relationship with Jesus and those things of the heart and faith that bind us together in community. We may get to the point that we would miss the voice of Jesus if he were calling our name. Jesus gives examples. There were the days of Noah. People were distracted. They were doing this and that, but not tending their relationships with God. And then, like it was on the East Coast several weeks ago, the water began to rise at their feet. It kept rising. It came suddenly. They had misplaced their allegiance, and except for the eight who were Noah and his family who were prepared, all the rest were lost. Jesus has examples of pairs of people working side by side. One is taken, one is not. We're reminded by Jesus that the Son of Man will come at an unexpected hour. There's not much evidence, really, that this will be a great cataclysm. Some people say everything will be shaken up and all different, and we'll see great things in the sky and heaven and so forth. But the way Matthew and the gospel writers talk about it, it's more like one will be taken, one won't. People will be side by side doing normal tasks, and then Jesus enters. In our day, we might describe these scenes differently. Two colleagues are working side by side. One is diagnosed with cancer, another not. Two candidates apply for the same job. One is chosen, one is not. Two kids are navigating their way through the same high school. One gets too friendly with drugs, one does not. Two couples are joined in marriage. What goes well for one, not for the other. Our times are filled with unexpected, surprising, and life-altering events. In the middle of them, we're invited, even commanded by Jesus, to keep watch for the presence of God as we know that presence in Jesus. We look to see God in both the ups and the downs of our lives. And this often isn't easy, especially when the unexpected event is tragic. We may need to wait a while to see where God is at work in this event, and that can be painfully hard. It's hard for us as individuals to work through hard events, and as it can be for religious groups and ethnic groups and gender groups for many generations, to work through a problem that's hard to see where God is in it, where there is salvation. Yet God's promise throughout Scripture is that God is reliable to meet us at our point of greatest need and to accompany us in the most difficult of circumstances. We know it's been like this for centuries and for generations, and we join voices with those from time to time who say, Lord, how long must we wait for you to come? Even though it's hard to do, it's important that we keep asking. When we fail to ask or even think about the Lord's coming, we may not be thinking about the Lord at all. Then we have fallen asleep spiritually, and we will miss him when he comes. With our youth groups, it's a custom that's become popular is to inquire of God sightings. Where have you seen God today? Where did you see God? What did you see God up to in something active in someone else's life or in your life? Where did you see God acting? We at any age can keep asking ourselves, where am I seeing God today? And when we do that, we'll be much more likely to see that Jesus is already coming to us and to see Jesus when he comes again in the kingdom. We know in our times of instant gratification and of impatience that waiting is very hard for us to do, just as it was in the days of the earliest Christians. So that's one of the reasons we come here on Sundays to watch for Jesus together. As we strain to see God in the ups and downs of our lives, we come to worship to hear the words of exhortation and encouragement because we need to again and again. Otherwise, we'll tune out. We come to be surrounded by other Christians. As some of us are here having a mighty struggle to see God, others of us feel like maybe we've seen God lately and we can share that news with somebody else who isn't seeing God that, yeah, I saw him. I saw him active. And we can encourage one another in that way. In the examples that Jesus gives, people are together. They're side by side doing this. Two are doing this, two are doing that. One is taken, one isn't. They weren't separate from each other, but they were side by side. One of the reasons we gather as Christians is to encourage one another and help each other to see God, especially during the dark and difficult times. We know that's why we have the Gospels in the first place. Matthew and the other gospel writers were encouraging the Christians to keep hope when they were a minority group and not part of the power holders of the day. Much later, Martin Luther would write that the Christian community together was a place of comfort and consolation of the faithful. And so we continue that tradition every time we meet, as we sing together, as we listen together, as we eat the Lord's meal together, and when we receive that meal, we know it's a foretaste of the feast to come together, as we lift up our concerns and thanksgivings in prayer together, as we converse during the course of the morning to share our joys and challenges. In all these ways, we come to watch together and to build up others and to be built up ourselves and looking for the Lord here and now and in the age to come. Matthew was writing to a community of people to remind them how to live in the meantime and how to be ready for the end time. He gives us a vision for how we can see our gatherings as times when we get encouragement, when we are having difficulty seeing God present in our lives. Because at a time when we're, if we know that we've been assured by God's love, when we can help others know that same kind of love. We come here in need, and we come here knowing the love, and we share that word with each other. And whatever secondary divisions or differences there may be among us on a human level, we know that our primary unity here is that we come to be joined together by God's promise to come and abide with us, and then as well to receive God's gift of community so that we might help one another see how God is keeping his promise to us. Our daughter and son-in-law work in a graphics, they have their own graphics business, and they've named it Side by Side Creative as they work together to do this business. Maybe that's the thing that we can, way we can describe our congregation. We're here side by side creatively expressing the promise of God as we've known it in our lives with one another. We creatively are on this journey together, side by side in this congregation, that we might lift up one another. We never know what kind or when a tragedy will strike. We do know when times are hard, and many of us feel that now. We also don't know what incredibly good blessings will happen. We all know, though, in all of it, God is present with us in Jesus, and God will keep being present with us. Sometimes it's hard to see that, and we need help seeing it. Sometimes it's quite apparent to us, and we can help others see it. We need to be together, as Christian communities always have been, to hear the promises together, to live in the light of them, to remind one another of them, and to point out God's presence and blessings to one another. And as we do this, we live out the kind of community that Jesus and Matthew had in mind for his followers. We begin a new church year today, recommitting ourselves to living this kind of community where we know the promises of God and remind one another of them and keep one another watchful for the presence of God among us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.